One time I was really blessed. In fact, I had a good friend of mine had gotten extremely sick. Now, I went to high school with this man. He was one of my best friends. I had two best friends in high school, and this man was one of them. Well, at about 55 or 56, he came down with brain tumors, and it was terminal. Well, I'd lost touch with him for years, and so when I heard about it, I went to visit him. He was in the hospital in Brownwood, Texas. I went to the hospital in Brownwood, and I went in there, and he didn't even know who I was. The doctor said, "What are you going to do with him?" They said, "We're going to send him, since he was a veteran, we're going to send him to San Antone, and they're going to operate on him." And so they sent him to San Antone, and the doctor took the top of his head off, which I don't even like to think about that. And they went in to take the brain tumors out, and the doctor said he had so many brain tumors in there that it's impossible to get them, that there's nothing could happen except God intervened, this man was going to die. Well, now see, what we didn't know, God had already intervened. Now, who is it that takes sickness away? Who is it that puts sickness on us? God. It's God does it all. He is in control. He's God. Well, so I didn't know all these things at that time. This happened 15 years ago. I'm learning at that time. So I went back when they sent him home to die after they found out he couldn't live. They sent him back to a rest home, and actually in Goldsway, Texas. And so I went down to Goldsway, took a Monday off, and I drove 3 hours down there, and I spent all day with this man. And when I walked in, he's sitting there in a chair, and he's just sitting looking out the window. He does not recognize me, does not who I am, doesn't acknowledge me. I walk up to him, try to shake hands with him, say hi, just like nothing. And I see this woman, and I said, "Well, who?" I said, "Ma'am, who are you?" She said, "I'm his wife." I said, "Oh." I said, "I knew his first two wives." I said, "Are you his third?" Or I said, "Has he been married more than three?" She said, "No, I'm his third wife." And I said, "You ever been married before?" "No, he's my first husband." I said, "Well, he was a really great man." She said, "He was a great man." She said, "I've certainly enjoyed living with him as my husband." I said, "Where do you all go to church?" She said, she told me, First Baptist Church over in another little town close to Goldsway. I said, "Well, how many times have you been?" First of all, I asked her how many years they'd been married. She said, 10. I said, "Well, how many times have you been to church?" Oh, she said, 5 or 6. I said, "You know, this guy was a youth leader in the church. He was a Sunday school teacher." I said, "I can't believe y'all have only been to church 5 or 6 times this year." Oh, she said, "I don't believe you have to go to church to worship God." She said, "We've only been to church 5 or 6 times in the 10 years we've been married." You know, God said in His Word to go to church. Hebrews 10:25, He clearly said, "Forsake not the gathering of yourself together on a regular basis." So what do you think that means? In fact, we're going to turn to Hebrews 10:25, and I want you to see that as I tell this story. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." In other words, what does that mean? Forsake not to gather ourselves together. What does that mean? Go to church. Is that right? Put that in plain English, go to church. In other words, regularly. Is that what he's trying to say? That's what he's trying to say. If you're my child, go to church. Now then, He had been going to church and been a youth leader and all that stuff. And then when he married this third woman, she didn't believe in going to church. Now then, the scriptures are plainly clear that the husband is the priest or the head of the family. Y'all know that? Yep. And scriptures are very clear that the wife is to be in submission or to obey the husband. Not a lot of wives do that. Even Christian wives don't do that very well, but those that do are blessed because they obey God, because He's watching and He knows what you're doing. But this woman kept her husband out of church for 10 years. And then he came down with brain tumors. And so I spent all day with him, trying to build his faith, praying over him, anointing him with oil, doing everything. And after I did all this, I prayed over him. When I got through praying over him, I looked at him and I said, called his name and I said, "Do you know who I am?" He turned his head like this and looked me straight in the eye and he said, "You're Thurman Scrivener." I said, "Praise God, you're healed. I know you're going to get well." I left and come home 3 hours all the way back to Dallas from Goldthwaite, praising the King for healing this man on Monday. Thursday, they called me and said he died. I said, "What? He died?" I went back to his funeral on Sunday. I watched him lay this 55, 56-year-old man in the grave. On the way home, I'm by myself. I said, "Okay, Lord, you put me in this healing ministry. You're the one who called me out to do this." I said, "Lord, I did everything I knew how to do for that man, and you didn't heal him." I said, "I got to know. I know you said in your word, you don't hear the prayer of a sinner. But Lord, if I had any sin in my life, I didn't know about it." I said, "That may be possible." But I said, "Lord, I'm trying my best to walk holy in obedience to your word." I said, "Lord, did I do something wrong? Well, I want to know what happened here. I want to know why this man died." I said, "Lord, thank you for the answer." Nothing. So I keep asking, and I ask, and I ask for 3 hours back home. Just before I got home, I said, "Lord, I am not going away. I have to know what I did wrong. I've got to know why this man died." And then he spoke to me. He said, "Son, you didn't do anything wrong." Now that was very comforting to hear the King tell me I didn't do anything wrong. He said the problem was his. And he said, "You'll find your answer to his problem in John 15:2. I thought, John 15:2. Wonder what that says. So I stopped, I opened my Bible, and I turned to John 15:2, and it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, God, takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, had he been unfruitful for 10 years? Who took him away? God killed him, didn't he? You know what I said when I read that? I said, Lord. I said, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman. Doesn't that sound just like a man? You know what God told me? He said, "I didn't put that woman in charge of the family. I put him in charge of the family, and he obeyed her instead of me. So I killed him." That's something, isn't it? But he didn't prune him. He cut him off. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit," he does what to it? He cut it off. He took it away.
Where did he end up? Do you have any?
Where in what?
Did he go to heaven or not?
Oh, that's a good question. I hope he went to heaven. But only God knows. See, now all I got to say is I would be willing to make this statement. If he did go to heaven, he didn't get a single reward. I'd hope he went to heaven. But I ain't taking that chance. I ain't going to stop producing fruit. I'm going to bear fruit till my last step on this earth is over. Because he told me in his word, he told me in 1 Timothy 6:12, when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life." He didn't say it's going to be an easy thing. He said, "Put your fingernails in it. Hold on to it." But if you got to lay hold of it, that means it might be able to slip away. I ain't taking a chance. Are you?
Nope.
If there's anything I don't want to miss, it's heaven.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Being sick, if I can't get you healed on earth, that's one thing. But if you don't listen to what I tell you about God's Word and you miss heaven, you've missed everything there is. the lake of fire is not going to be any fun.
Scares me.
It scares me too. I don't want to go there. Do you, young lady?
Nope.
No. I do not, and I am not going there because I'm going to serve the King. I'm going to do what He says. Yes, I'm going to walk in obedience to His Word. But He says, every branch in me that produces no fruit, what will He do to it? He'll cut it off. Now, you want to know why a lot of men die early? Because we go back to Hebrews 10:25. And we read that one more time. Hebrews 10:25. Let's go back there. And Hebrews 10:26, we'll read on. Hebrews 10:25, He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. In other words, go to church. You need to be telling your men friends, guys, be in church Sunday somewhere. Serve the King. Be in church. Is that what He said? Exhort one another.
Yep.
Brother, I mean, Jesus could have come back for you today. You know that? You know, today, did you know? I hope it happens to nobody. But do you know, nobody knows when you start home today. You do not know. Today might be your last day on the earth. You know that?
Yep.
Do you know on October the 13th, 2001, when my wife of 41 and a half years got up over here with my 24-year-old daughter, I had no idea in 2 hours those two girls were going to be in eternity. I had no idea my grandbaby and a little girl like her grandbaby was going to be flown back to Cook's Medical Center, and I was going to have to fight the greatest fight of faith ever fought in my life, that death and life was hanging right there in the breeze. In a few seconds, I was going to experience the most devastating test of my life. But I experienced them. They happened. And I fought that fight of faith. And I got to see God raise Caitlin from the dead. I got to see Him put her brain stem back together. That little girl come over the other night with her new grandmother. She come over and she wanted to watch a movie. Cheryl and her got in there and they watched the movie, and I was working. I finally took a shower and went to bed. I was tired. They watched the movie until late. And then Tim called and he said, you better send Caitlin home or she's going to have to stay. I said, Caitlin, honey, you want to spend the night with Grandma and me? Yes, she said. Yes, she wanted to spend the night. So she spent the night. The next morning, the wee hours of the morning, she gets up about daylight, comes in, scoots over on the side of Grandma and scoots Grandma over against me. Now Grandma's sandwiched between me and grandchild.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.